You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Move the Sticks. DJ Bucky back with you. Buck, what's up, man?
Nothing, man. It's going. We are, like, getting closer and closer where it's getting real. Like, the conversation that you have with your buddies about the draft and the league, some of them are still willing to engage. Others have started to go dark. But that's kind of part of the process when we get up to the run-up to the draft. But a few weeks away, I think. Right now, DJ, I think it'd be important to kind of tell everybody what teams are going through. Like, you got the last of these pro days, and now you got the visits. But we're almost about to come back in and have these final meetings where we kind of, like, really solidify the board, where the background stuff, the character stuff comes in, the medical stuff comes in.
That's the big one, the medical stuff.
And some of your favorite players, when you open the board, you're like, hey, where's my guy?
Yeah, where are you?
And you find out he's on the mystery board. Yep. He's on the board back there where we can't touch him for various reasons. And so it's a very interesting time, but it's one of those times that I think scouts look forward to.
Yeah. On today's pod, we're going to go through position by position, talk about who we have as a top player at each position, but also who we think could maybe be the surprise. And surprise in terms of could be the first player taken at that position, which could be a surprise, or maybe somebody that could go much earlier or much later than kind of maybe what some of the consensus is out there. So that's kind of the plan for today. But you mentioned kind of what's going on right now, Buck. For those that don't know, you know, all the scouts are out at pro days and those are wrapping up, finishing up. I think we have Stingley going today. I think Drake London might be going next week, maybe. That'll probably be the last one. But so then you've got all that information from the pro days. Now the scouts will reconvene here probably in another week or so to kind of get the final touches on the board to kind of put that where it needs to be. And as you mentioned, scouts are out and inside the building as the medical information's coming in and some of the psychological testing, some of the character stuff is trickled in and you get all that stuff sorted out. You can come into that draft room after not having been there, you know, since before the combine, and you can see what you remember that board looked like, and it can look a whole lot different. And medical being the number one driver. And I'll get that stuff. I usually talk to a couple teams who will kind of clue me in on that, on the medical stuff. I never share that. I don't ever want to, I'm not trying to damage anybody's stock. We root for all these kids, but I like to be aware if somebody's, you know, sliding on the draft, then you can, at that time, then on TV, you kind of explain like, hey, the reason why this sixth overall player hasn't gone yet and we're in the second round is because there were some lingering medical questions. But I will say my initial conversation with personnel guy yesterday or the day before, we kind of, I set up a time like, hey, let's get a time to go over all the medical stuff. And he said, you know, so far the stuff we have on all the top guys, there hasn't been anything super alarming. So maybe this is a year we don't have that. That'd be great.
Yeah. No, you would like to think that like that you would hope for that. In a perfect world, all the top prospects are clean and it now just becomes an evaluation on talent and fit. How talented are they? Do they fit what we want to do? Let's rank them here. When you have the medical stuff come into it or you have other character concerns come into it, then it just muddies up the board and muddies up the process. And so hopefully to date, we haven't had many of those things that have come up, little things, but nothing like super major. And so hopefully we can avert some of the surprises that can pop up.
Let's jump into it here. Let's go by position. And you got your top fives. I got my list here. And I figure we kind of go who your top player is at the position. And then let's try and identify that one like surprise that's coming, whether it's a player that could be the first off the board or somebody could slide. Like what's the unexpected? So let's start. I've got it kind of just sorted. So it's going to jump around from offense to defense, but let's start with the corners, kind of going alphabetical here, looking at that position. So your number one corner is who, Buck?
Okay, let me go down. I think Sauce Gardner is my number one corner. And I think everyone has kind of positioned him up there because of the length, the overall playing ability. Dude is really, really talented when you watch him play. He dominates against the people that he's faced. He does a great job of really good nose-to-nose and eliminating and snuffing guys out on the perimeter. I like him personally because in talking to him, I feel like he's wired the right way to be a high-level player for a long time, barring injury. This guy loves ball. He's serious about his preparation process. He has what we call that athletic arrogance that elite corners must have. But I think he's not kind of the outlier that's going to be problematic in terms of reigning. I think he'll play within the system and do those things. To me, he's a favorite. I mean, I just love everything about him, and I would expect him to play at a dominant level fairly early in his career.
Yeah, he's my top guy too. He's my third overall player. And, you know, we've talked about the evaluation a lot. I would say I got a text from a buddy asking me, how would he compare to Jalen Ramsey? And I said, okay, well, Jalen's more explosive. I would say Jalen, what was the other thing I said on there? Jalen's just physically stronger. Like he's a stronger player and a more dynamic, explosive player. You know, Sauce ran 4.41, but Jalen Ramsey, just he had even more juice in his body.
Yeah, he was a long jump champion in ACC maybe two times.
Yeah.
You know, like
he's a different explosive level.
Yeah, he was popping 25 or 26 foot jumps, which speaks to his explosiveness. So that's what you talk about, that lower body, lower core explosion.
Yeah.
You see that, and you really see it when he strikes to tackle. Like you can feel that in that. But Sauce is explosive and long enough. Mm-hmm. I like the comparison because that length is something, because when you're not, Sauce is 4.4 is like super fast. But like if you're not fast, what length does is with technique, it allows you to stymie some of those faster guys. You get your hand in the chest early. You can control them. You can kind of understand how to play. You don't always have to be what we call in phase, because the length allows you to still swat away those balls because you're so long, similar to like how Josh Norman used to play in his prime. But Sauce to me is A+. I don't want to say he is the safest of them all, but I think what we project him to be and what he's going to wind up being, I think it's going to be very, very close.
Yeah, I would say in his favor versus Jalen, I'd say he finds and plays the ball a little bit better than Jalen did coming out. So that would be.
I don't think Jalen has a bunch of interceptions in his career without popping up his stats. Like I never viewed him as a ball hawk, and it's a difference. He is an eraser more so than a ball hawk. You put him on the guy, you don't have to worry about, hey, man, we're going to help you. We're going to do this. You're locked up. And I think his strength is that. And I think what Jalen has done is he's added more tools to the toolbox because he can play outside and inside. I don't know if Sauce has that capability, but him being a dominant player on the outside is plenty good enough.
Yeah. So that we've kind of we're on the same page here. We're reading from the same book about Sauce Gardner being the number one guy. So then now the question is, who could be the surprise in any area of the draft of this position? Let me give you mine so far. I think there's not consensus. It's a little bit of a polarizing player, but I have Kyir Elam from Florida. He was in my 40s. Mm-hmm. He's actually just outside my top 50 right now. So he's literally my number one corner outside the 50. But there's love on the streets for him, and I would not be shocked if he ended up, you know, working his way into round one or found his way into round one. So that one for me would be maybe a little bit of a surprise to keep an eye on would be Elam from Florida, who's, you know, 6'1 and a half, 191 pounds, ran 4.39. Really, really physical and press. I just thought he was a little bit tight, and I thought some of the transition stuff, he struggled. But that's one to me I would say as a surprise at that position. That's one I'd keep an eye on.
Yeah, no, I think he's intriguing, right? Because it was the thing. It was the concern about the speed thing that it kind of made everyone kind of pause the payments on him. Like, you want to pay mm-hmm. it off like he deserves being the thing, but then you're like, I don't know how fast he's going to time and this and that. The guy for me that I wouldn't say he's a surprise, but I would say I don't know if people have talked about him enough based on how I think he's going to play, and that would be Andrew Booth from Clemson.
Okay.
And when I look at Andrew Booth, to me, he is as safe as they come on the island. And I would liken him to, I don't have the same grade on him as I had on Surtain, but you remember the conversation with Surtain and J.C. Horn and others?
Yeah. Like,
hey, Surtain, you know exactly what you're getting from a technical standpoint. He can do X, Y, and Z. J.C. Horn may give you more juice, more upside, or whatever. When I look at Andrew Booth, I know exactly what he is from a technical standpoint. I believe he can play in any system because he can pedal, he can press, he can bail, he can play man or zone. He has good eyes, and then he's a very dependable and reliable tackler. And I think mm-hmm. that is underrated in the game. To me, the conversation, I think, is going to be between, do I want to gamble on Derek Stingley and what he was in 2019 as a freshman when he was maybe the best corner in the land? Or do I want the safe and dependable and reliable Andrew Booth, who has a skill set that allows him to play in any scheme?
It just reminded me, Stingley's going right now. So I just actually texted one of my buddies who I think is going to be there, just to maybe we'll get some numbers, some good numbers here while we're recording this podcast. Yeah, I'm with you on Booth. He's my 30th player, Buck. Mirror and match, quick, fluid, all that stuff. I don't think he's going to be able to run a 40 because of the injury. So you won't have that on him. But he's a first round corner to me all day long. Let's keep it moving here. Let's go to the next position that I have here, which is safety. So we'll say in the defensive backfield, I think we're both going to be Kyle Hamilton as the top safety. I don't know. We need to go deep into that. One of the things with him is people are going to freak out about the 40 time and all that, but your eyes, I'd rather have excellent eyes and a little bit lesser 40 than to have an unbelievable 40 with poor eyes. That's me at that position.
So it's funny, right? And here's why you have to keep the times and stuff in perspective. DJ, not after the combine, I wasn't worried. Like, when he ran 4.5, I was like, okay, whatever, he's safety.
Yeah.
When the 4.7 thing or whatever came back from the pro day, then I was like, ooh, let me go back and look at tape. And what happened, and this is why you always have to go back to the tape, DJ, I fell in love all over again with this game. Mm-hmm. Like, this dude is terrific, you know? And you watched him. He was on his way to having a bang-out year. Multiple interception games as far as state. Like, this guy was on his way to being everything. He only has 8 career interceptions. But when you watch how he's played, I believe in Notre Dame, they left a little meat on the bone in terms of how they could deploy him. No. He is not the same athlete and animal that Derwin James is. However, you see flashes and glimpses of him blitzing where he gets home, but he doesn't get the sack. And I feel like he's been underutilized in terms of being around the box. And so I think he is one of the rare guys that could do both. He could play ornament at the top of his Christmas tree, or you can drop him in the box. And I think there's a value to that, particularly for a defense that may play right and left safeties as opposed to a free and a strong. I just think this guy, I hope he gets with the right coordinator that fully unleashes him. Because I think he can be a very special player at the next level.
Yeah, I'm with you. He's my fourth overall player. Let me give you, though, the surprise, because we're trying to think of that moment on draft night where we're like, whoa, wait a second. We've talked about it. As much as we like Kyle Hamilton, there's a chance he drifts a little bit because the position and maybe not the ideal testing you're looking for. So we've kind of talked about him falling out of the top 10, potentially. But Derwin James, we live in a world where Derwin James went 17th, so this shouldn't be a shock, right?
Crazy.
So he could slide down. Here's my one that I think maybe this could be our surprise on draft day. Daxton Hill is my he's my 19th player.
Yeah.
I think he can – I mean, he can play the nickel. See him do it. That's primarily where he was. He can play, we talk about, at the top of the Christmas tree, be that true post safety. I think he can play corner. He's got that type of athleticism and feet. You talk about testing, 6002, so 6 foot, 191 pounds, ran 4.38. So he's my 19th player. Hamilton's my fourth player. It's conceivable that if Hamilton's dropping, and just from where I have him, if teams are maybe even a little bit higher on Hill, we could wake up, you know, the day after the first round buck and live in a world where Daxton Hill gets picked ahead of Kyle Hamilton. That would not be out of the realm of possibility. Are you with me on that?
I'm with you on that. And this is what I want to give the listener / viewer insight on. For years, going back to when we work with teams, we started the conversation that, A, we need to treat the nickel corner as if he's the 12th starter.
Yeah.
We need to have a place on the board for the nickel corner. And we talked about it, but it never kind of existed. It was kind of the place where you put all the small guys, right?
Yeah.
All the 5'8", 5'9 guys, this is the nickel. Well, now, as you see each and every week, and as we're seeing, the nickel corner has its own set of responsibilities and attributes that are needed to thrive there. You have teams that have a dedicated nickel coach that only coaches the nickel.
Coach one guy.
Because he has to have some different – he has to play linebacker sometimes. He has to play in the middle. He has to play all those things. Daxton Hill's experience, and I thought what was great on Path to the Draft this week, you showed where he lined up and the various spots that he lined up on the board. I think people need to visualize a guy playing deep middle, nickel, in the box, because as teams are beginning to play 70% of their defense in sub-packages, nickel, dime, some combination of the two, you have to have guys that can move around and have the ability to be versatile, play by play, week to week, whatever is needed against the team. Daxton Hill's value, particularly for a defensive-minded coach, his value is going to be high and maybe much higher than us on the media side recognize. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Daxton Hill come off the board a lot higher than anyone recognized. Like, what? He's a You know,
he's an impact player.
He is an impact player. For me, Jaquan Brisker is the one to keep an eye on.
Okay.
Only in terms of guys love athletes and guys who can move around and guys who can kind of hit and do some other stuff. And he is, and it's crazy. And maybe it's the uniform when it comes to Penn State. Penn State has accumulated like this set of athletes.
No doubt.
They have a track team that can play. He is an intriguing one. I think you have to have a clear plan for how you want to play him and deploy him. And I don't think he's for everybody's taste, but he has intriguing talent that I would want to kind of cultivate and kind of figure out a way to kind of put him in the mix because he can play. Lewis Seen, also from Georgia. You talk about someone, if you talk about –
he could sneak into one. He could get into one. Wouldn't shock me.
If you still have some of those old school values where you believe that your safety has to be an enforcer, I don't know that there's a more ferocious hitter than the Georgia kid.
Grant 4-7. That's the type of burst and explosiveness he has.
He absolutely hits you to knock you to sleep. He puts the babies to sleep. He's another one.
Yep. Absolutely. I'm with you on those. And Brisker, to me, was better, you know, when he's down in that box, covering tight ends, physical. He can kind of sort through the trash in the run game there. It's a good safety from Penn State. Okay, let's go to defensive tackles. Are the next one up. So my top defensive tackle is Jordan Davis, who we've talked a lot about with that ridiculous 4.78 he ran out of Georgia at 341 pounds. We've never seen anything like it. He's in great shape. He's my top guy, kind of a unique player. I guess we probably should have talked about him when we were talking about unicorns the other day on Path to the Draft. He is, that's a height, weight, speed kind of unicorn with what he is. But the, you know, kind of the surprise, you know, I'll give you my surprise would be, I know we've talked a lot about Devontae Wyatt. I don't think that's crazy. He's my second player. He's my 20th player. If he ended up leapfrogging his teammate there, I don't think that would be a huge shock. But my surprise might be a guy like Logan Hall from Houston, who some teams love. Gosh, if they have a – is that your guy?
Yeah, that's what we did. No, yeah.
He's my 50th player, but he could go in the bottom of one. And we've seen it with Peyton Turner from Houston. So same school, similar type of a player. To me, he's got that Marcus Davenport type body. He can do a lot of things, but some teams have a very clear vision for him. Like if you play with a five technique teams love him that want to deploy him that way. So that's one I think could be a surprise. Sounds like we're drinking from the same cup there.
Yeah, he's hot, man. He is hot on the streets, man. There's a lot of love for him. And you're right, it could be the surprise like Peyton Turner was last year. Like someone, where'd he come from? But Hall's versatility, his reliability, his impact potential, he is one that is certainly in the mix and in the conversation. And let's be honest, man, this defensive tackle class to me is really, really solid. From Wyatt to Travis Jones, like those guys. And really the outlier to me was Trayvon Walker, only in terms of like, where do you line him up? Because I feel like this guy can go in any category. If I had to put his card on the draft board, I would put DL. Because he can play anywhere. In my estimation, he can play anywhere along the D-line.
No doubt. All right, let's keep it moving here. Edge. Hutchinson, we both have, right, as a top guy there. I don't think there's anything crazy there. We've talked a bunch about Walker, you know, maybe leapfrogging him. It sounds like Jacksonville, we've talked about that a bunch, being
conversation kind of torn. For sure.
Torn. You mentioned the Trent Baalke connection with Alden Smith, having taken him and seeing some of those similarities there.
Yeah, the traits, and you just don't know how they may go. I think what's interesting, and I had this conversation earlier, DJ, the one thing I would say about the pass rush is in this class, we don't have what we call extensive resumes of production.
Yeah.
Meaning there are a lot of guys who've had 1 year of double-digit sack production. Hutchinson this year, Jermaine Johnson this year. Kayvon Thibodeau has never reached double digits. For me, like, I would like to see it over a sustained period. So I feel like this class is good, but I still believe there's a little more projection because it's not the certainty. Like, and I go back to Myles Garrett, Von Miller. He said there's a lot of talent and that stuff, you know, that you can build upon for sure.
So give me your surprise. Give me your surprise here.
What could be the surprise? I think we're in the same camp. I think the kid from Minnesota is the one.
Boye Mafe.
Yeah. I think Boye Mafe. The combination of athleticism and I would just say effort and energy expenditure, he comes all day after it. He can bend and burst. I had a chance to see him in the bowl game. Like he gets after it. I want to say he had two sacks in the bowl.
Yeah, two sacks in the Senior Bowl.
He was coming and just getting off of it. He is one that I would keep an eye on. And I know, like, it's funny because I have George Karloftis ahead of him.
Yeah.
And I think George is a rugged edge defender and that stuff. But for if we're talking about the money and money downs and closing out games, I might lean towards Mafe if I'm building the closeout team.
Yeah. Can we just talk? I want to take a little sidebar discussion here because I've worked for teams that have done this both ways. And I'm curious to see if you have as well. There's two types of fronts. Okay. A lot of people focus on a three-man front or a four-man front, even odd fronts, right? To me, when you look at it, especially when you watch the game today, you see there's two styles of defensive line play in this league right now. There is a read front and there is an attack front.
We're going.
And I was around Jim Washburn, who's kind of, you know, he's the wide nine guru, the wide nine king, which is you're going to split your ends out wide and we are in attack mode. He used to say in our draft meetings, read is a four-letter word. Like we are not sitting and stacking blocks and playing at the line of scrimmage. We are going to get to the football as fast as we can, and we're going to create a mess and a car crash on the way there. Yeah. And I think the reason why I say this is because if you watched Mafe play at Minnesota, there are times where I thought, especially because he doesn't have a ton of experience, there were times I think he was bogged down. You know, he's trying to think, am I pinching? Am I doing this? Am I playing inside? Am I stacked inside? And then he went to the Senior Bowl, and I believe he was with the Jets, if I'm not mistaken.
And they are
the Jets. The Jets come from, Saleh comes from San Francisco. San Francisco's D-line coach, Chris Kocurek. Yeah. Who did Chris Kocurek learn under? Who's his mentor? Jim Washburn.
Yeah.
So that's what the Jets do. Clear your mind. We're going to put our hand in the ground, and we are going to rock. Like, that is it. You are getting off the ball and go. And I think you saw him turn into a different player down there. So I think depending on what type of a front you are, what you're asking your guys to do, you're going to see those attack fronts. They're going to love Boye Mafe. I think that even a guy like Nick Bonito, they're going to love.
Oh, yeah.
Don't worry about it. Just get off the ball and go. And then I think those teams might not be as high on Karlaftis, who, like you said, is a little more rugged, not quite as dynamic. But somebody who could hold the point of attack and do those things if you wanted, you know, maybe more of a read front team might be a little bit higher on Karlaftis than others. So I think that's an important factor when you're trying to figure out, you know, who's going to go and who's going to maybe drop a little bit in this draft. It depends on what you're looking for.
It does matter, because stylistically there are differences between the guys. And you talk about it, and I'm glad you took time to explain it, because there is that. DJ, play for teams, been around teams where your best pass rushers, hey, man, it ain't a whole lot of thinking. It's reacting. It's instinctive. It's an artistry to it, you know? There's a plan, but it is going. And you have to do it. The guys who are read and react are more the rugged power players and stuff like that. And so, yeah, Mafe and Nick Bonito, those guys that can go in the right front, particularly with more teams. And we talk about playing sub packages where we're putting a two down lineman, four stand up guys kind of floating around and doing these funny exotic fronts where you're just trying to hit with pressure everywhere. Yeah, those athletes, those explosive athletes, they go to the front of the line.
Yeah, so it's something just to keep an eye on. I would say my kind of surprise would be Ebba Cady from Penn State.
Oh,
he's my 36th player. He's in my, and we'll get to the other positions as well. When I look at my list, and when you have this stuff, you're looking at it every single day. And we talked about it. Remember Jalen Hurts year? I said, yeah. Buck, I got this feeling about him. Like, I'm too low on him. Like, I, and then at the last update, I was like, I moved him up. I put him in my top 50 at the very end. And while the jury's still out on him, Jalen Hurts has shown some promise, and there's a, you know, having him.
No matter what, he's been a starting quarterback in the league. And that's the thing. When you put someone in the top 50, meaning that they're going to go in the first two rounds, the second round is an eventual starter, whatever that looks like. He has started games in this league, which makes the evaluation kind of like right on point. And that's how you have to view him. Like, whether we like him personally in terms of like, would I want that as my starting quarterback, is not necessarily that. It's, this guy projects to be a starter in the league, and he's been a starter in this league.
Yeah. So, but Ebba Cady's kind of one of those guys for me. I look at him, he's my 36th guy, and we'll see. I think maybe just one more update, which will be right before the draft. He's 36. I started him out in the 20s. He didn't have a huge Senior Bowl, so I pulled him down a little bit. I've since moved him back. He's 36. He's going to probably make his way in my top 32 players, because I read him. And when you read your notes and you're like, what the heck am I doing, man? Move him up. He reads too good. Okay, let's go to, I think we can skip over fullbacks. I don't think anybody, you know, I like Connor Hayward. I like Jeremiah Hall, but we'll move on there. Let's go interior offensive lineman. Okay. Who is your top interior offensive lineman? And, you know, what could be a surprise here? What do you think?
Okay, so my top interior offensive lineman is Kenyon Green from Texas A&M.
Okay, same.
And I'll be honest, DJ, when I look at his tape, like, if I feel like I need a little pep in my step and I just want to be – this dude is one of the best I've seen in a pin and pull scheme. Like, he is a pull master. You want to skip and pull and come around the edge and just absolutely obliterate an unsuspecting defensive tackle, a DN. That's your guy. I mean, he comes – hard. And when he comes with bad intentions. So to me, he is the guy. I mean, strength, power, explosiveness. I mean, he's just a monster in the run game. There are a bunch of guys in this class that I think can play bully ball at the line of scrimmage. He's at the front of the line.
Okay. I'm with you on that one. He's my top guy as well. The fact he's played four spots, I love that as well. Here's my surprise. I have it. Kenyon Green, Linderbaum, Zion Johnson is my top three interior guys. Here's my surprise. Cam Jurgens went ahead of Tyler Linderbaum, I would not be shocked. And I love Linderbaum. Like Juergens is not in my top 50. He's right on the cusp. His tape is good. He, him and Linderbaum both have issues when they get some size over their nose. But Juergens is longer than Linderbaum. He's more explosive and dynamic. He ran 4.92, tested out of his mind. They both play with that, the temperament that you want. I'm just telling you, that that would not be surprising to me. And I'm thinking probably early two, and we see centers a lot of times kind of drift a little bit. If Juergens went just ahead of Linderbaum, top of the second round, it wouldn't shock me.
So it's funny. I like the note, the writer, I'm reading the writer that I have in my top five. His sensational workouts that brought him into the conversations won the top pivots in the ultra-athletic, like the combination of balance, body control, and power can make him scheme friendly. Could make him a guy that you want to put in. We talk about, like, hey, if they dropped a 330-pounder over his head, like, hey, it could be an issue. But also, if you let them in an offense where we talk about elephants on parade and we're moving, we're snapping and we're moving, and everyone is going to the right and to the left laterally in unison, he's one of the guys. And I want people to understand the draft is a bit of a beauty pageant. And so when you stack them up there, and if the grades are close enough, and we start talking about the length, and we start talking about the athleticism that we saw at the combine, and then you know what we do.
Hey, and he's healthy, too.
Right. Let's put the profile tape up. Let's watch this combine versus that combine. Let's watch, hey, you know, I don't know. Like, it might be close enough where you have that conversation. And you can make the decision that, hey, you know what? I'll get this guy in the first round. I'll come back and get Juergens as my guy at the pivot in the second round.
Yeah,
that conversation is going to be real.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. Again, he's healthy. That you know, Linderbaum not being healthy through this whole process, maybe that impacts that as well. All right, let's take a quick break. We're going to come back and knock out the rest of these positions.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have The Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get The Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
That's my first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be my game.
That's my game.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbiotica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or artificial nonsense. It's just pure goodness in every pouch. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbiotica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbiotica.com. That's Symbiotica.
Okay, Buck, we're going linebacker next. Devin Lloyd is my top off the ball linebacker. Is that where you are as well? Oh, who do you have?
Yeah, that's my guy. Devin Lloyd, man. I love him. And DJ, like, we're privy because we get a chance to talk to these guys. Having a chance to sit down with him at the combine, he's great. Love his IQ, love his temperament, kind of love his blue collar demeanor. I think the guy that he is at Utah is going to be the same guy that shows up wherever he goes. He's going to continue to be like that. And the versatility that he brings, being able to sack the quarterback off the edge, being able to slip through cracks as a sideline to sideline defender, being able to drop on coverage and get his hands on ball and to make interceptions. Guys who make plays continue to make plays, and he is a playmaker. And so I just love what he brings. As an off-the-ball linebacker.
Yeah, and I think the surprise, I think we're probably going to be saying the same thing here. I always laugh when Quay Walker's my 33rd player. He's mm-hmm. been in my top 50 from the jump. I might think I had him in the 20s earlier, but he's never left that area. He's my 33rd overall dude. And now it's like, this could be the shocker of all shockers. Like, Quay Walker could go in the first round. I'm like, nah, he's been in that. He's been there. Like, this is not a shocker. But if he ended up going over to Kobe Dean, that wouldn't stun me. I mean, he's freaking 4 inches taller and 20 pounds heavier, and he's faster. But I mean, you're talking about N'Kobe Dean's my 13th player. Quay Walker's my 33rd player. So I'm going to stick with the tape, and I try and block out a little bit of everybody's obsession with measurables and say, I just think he's same field, same defense. Who was more impactful in every game I watched? It was N'Kobe Dean. So I'm going to stick with that.
Yeah, N'Kobe Dean is very impactful. And there are a couple of things that work against him this time of year, because the farther we get away from ball, the more it hurts him. Because when you see him, and he's not an imposing figure, despite all the stuff that we see on tape where he is a Tasmanian devil making plays everywhere, we can talk about the IQ and how he settled everyone down. He's the leader and those things. There's still something when you look at Quay Walker and some of those other guys. Was it Tindall?
Channing Tindall.
Like, they just look like, I mean, when we talk about, hey, man, let's go get the mannequin and build a linebacker, those guys look like the mannequin. N'Kobe Dean doesn't. And so sometimes that can kind of sway you. Dean is a good player, but that size and length for some teams, it won't be there. And so that's why it's really hard. Like, when we do those things, like we put perfect fit or doing kind of these pseudo mocks on TV, and you're like, hey, let's put this guy with this team. You're like, hey, look, man, where the first round is, like, I don't know if the Patriots like a smaller linebacker. That traditionally hasn't been their thing. Yeah. You know, the teams that need linebackers aren't necessarily in the first round in terms of the ones that I think he has more value to. And so it's that funny thing where despite his talent, it may not be a spot for him where we deem him to go in the first round.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. Let's get to offensive tackle. I've got Icky. Do you have Icky or Neal?
I still have Neal at the top.
Okay.
But I'm leaning towards eventually making that work. No, I actually have Icky at the top. I'm looking at my thing. Okay. I thought I hadn't switched it yet, but I have Icky one, Neal two. Okay. And this is funny, DJ, but this goes back to an old thing in scouting. I had one of my mentors say, like, grade the flashes. Mm-hmm. Like, we can talk about the consistency, but grade them at their highest moments too. And make sure those highest moments stick out. And so I know it's the clip that we continue to play over and over on network. But DJ, when you see him do some of that nasty stuff, and I'm not talking about the excessive stuff that we've seen some guys who've earned a reputation for being like hard-nosed, but him on the move, mauling defensive backs down the field, like uprooting them from the ground and sending them flying through the air, there's something to it. His athleticism, his nastiness, and talking to him. You know, when you have those one-on-ones with prospects, Now, this is with your scout hat on. And you kind of talk to them, but you can kind of sense that trigger where they have kind of like that dark side of it. Yeah. He has some of that. And I just think, man, in the right environment, man, he would crush it. Like, there's no way that he can go there. But I only imagine if Ike Ekwonu played for the Baltimore Ravens in the way that they play, mm-hmm. where he can just he can be white knuckled in the ground and I'm just coming and going. Yeah. I just see him with a team and a coach that is like, hey, man, we're going to eliminate all this thinking. We just want you to come off and just absolutely obliterate the guy for four quarters. Just hit him with an assault. I think he has that. But I also think that he has the athleticism and the potential that if you can refine some of his technique, particularly in pass pro, I mean, you're talking about a guy that rings it all up in terms of being one of the top three that we talk about at the position going forward.
Yeah. I'm curious on him. He's got, you know, to me, he's kind of he's a two-hand puncher. So he's my top guy, but a lot of two-hand punch stuff. And so sometimes he gets over his skis a little bit, and that led to some balance issues there with Icky. Times he oversets as well, but I think those are correctable. The only thing I'll push back on the grading the flashes is that was what I did with Greg Robinson when he was coming out of Auburn. Yeah. Now as we've definitely learned over time, his was makeup related, I think, why he kind of busted out more than anything else. Mm-hmm. But he had some of those same third level blocks with the athleticism. He wasn't good at the boring stuff. You know, I think it was the Malzahn years or whatever. So it wasn't a lot of traditional pass sets with him. And so he struggled with that. I think Icky is way further along in terms of pass protection, some stuff to clean up. But that would be the only pushback, Buck, I would have on that is that sometimes some of those flashes, you got to be good at the boring stuff too.
Oh, you got to be really good at the boring stuff. You got to be good at the boring stuff. And it's funny, you know, because you go back and forth because my normal approach is, hey, I just want to hit it in a gap. I'll take a stand-up double. We're good. But then you see this guy who is just, I mean, maybe it's spring training. Maybe I've seen too many spring training games. I saw that the Dodgers shut out the Angels over spring training, so maybe I got really excited. But looking at, you know, Freddie Freeman come around the corner, I'm like, you know, it's okay. Like, sometimes you hit a home run. So Icky Ekwonu and some of that stuff. But yeah, no, you're right. You have to be cautious about that. And that's why it's really important. If you told me if I could scout the room and you tell me who is going to coach him,
no doubt,
then I could feel better about that. And sometimes the little secret, when you're the general manager, you have to look in your room and say,
got to know what you got.
Who's my coach?
Yeah. And for those that don't know, this is not a theory. This is a fact. We've both been there, and we've been in rooms when, you know, the first round of meetings, the coaches are not in the room. And I've been on teams. I can remember one year at one point in time, it was a receiver, and we had a conversation like, look, if this was a corner, we could take this guy because he's got all these tools. But he's not ready. And we just had more confidence at that time in our corners coach and our DBs coach than we did in our wide receiver coach. Now, you got to be careful. You don't want to say that around your coaches. You don't want that getting out that you maybe don't have faith. But some coaches are just better at developing players. You got to know your coaches before you pick your players, because developmental guys, you might not have, you know, the right people in place to help that. Now, that begs the question of, well, crap, why don't you go get a different coach then? That could help develop guys. But you've got head coaches that have power and they have their guys that they bring in. You got to know them. So I think that's a great point that you bring up. Is there any surprise coming with the tackles, Buck?
I don't know. You know, the guy that I'm waiting on, like we talk, but we don't talk about, like the Charles Cross thing. And DJ, here's the thing. I really like him. I love the technical stuff. But you know what scares me is like, the way that we felt about Dillard.
That's my problem. I had to talk with the GM about this the other day. He's like, you're down Cross. I'm like, man, I got a Dillard wound in there somewhere. Yeah. He's like, oh, you can't blame him for Dillard. I'm like, I know, but there's
it's the same system, same coach.
There.
And so unfortunately, you're like, okay, I love what he does in pass pro, but is he going to be physical enough or whatever? And I know it sounds crazy because we're talking about the SEC. He had to hold up in Mississippi State. He had to deal with some animals. But I can't help it. Like,
it's in the back of your mind, you know.
Yeah, I can't help it. But I think he's really good. And then you know the Trevor Penning thing. The only thing I would say that I love what he's tried to create in terms of like the demeanor and the toughness and that stuff. I don't want fake gym rats. Yeah. If that matters. I don't want, you know, I just need it to be, if that's who you are, I need it to be really, really who you are. But I don't want you to put on. I felt like some of that stuff that we saw in CMO was a little
extra.
Yeah, a little put on.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game.
Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18, my first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
That's my first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be my game, bro.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbiotica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or artificial nonsense. It's just pure goodness in every pouch. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbiotica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbiotica.com. That's Symbiotica.
All right, quarterbacks. We've talked so much about quarterbacks. I don't think we need to spend a lot of time here. But I would say, you know, I have Kenny Pickett. I think you do too, right? Kenny Pickett is a top guy. I have Willis right behind him. My surprise, and this is my guy this year, where, you know, I talked about with Jalen Hurts, and I said, you know, I'm looking at him, I'm reading the notes, and I see where I have him. I'm readily admit I'm late to the party in terms of trying to get him up, and everything that I hear about Desmond Ridder in terms of how he's met with teams and how mature is the word that comes up over and over and over again with him. And he's a pro. And now look, he's got some mechanical stuff. I don't love the accuracy is inconsistent. I don't love that. But when you've got, when you've got size, you've got enough arm, you're a really good athlete, and you're a great kid, and you've been really, really impressive in the room, I got to move him up, man. And so that's kind of the guy I think that I need to get in the mix. I tweeted out yesterday or the day before that one of the GMs I talked to said he wouldn't be shocked if we saw, you know, Ridder come off the board in the middle of the first round, and he kind of identified the Saints having those two ones, and maybe that could be a potentially landing spot there for him. But apparently he's just crushed. He's crushed this interview process, and so, teams have really fallen in love with him.
Okay. So look, it's not about us getting it right early in the process, but everything that I've written down, everything that I have in my notes, DJ, I've really fallen in love with the guy. But what I haven't done is I've been a coward, right? I've been a coward in terms of like really elevating him to how much I feel for him. So my words say, Ritt has been flying under the radar, but his experience and explosiveness makes him an attractive option as a QB1. Following a strong showing at the Senior Bowl and the Combine, he could be a surprise starter early in his career. All right. So then you go back and you research when we talk about quarterbacks and even using the old Parcells thing about experience leads to expertise or whatever. He has 44 career wins, not starts, wins. You then go back and you look at, okay, let's see, because we always talk about quarterbacks elevating the program. So this is a group of five team that made its way to the playoff, the college football playoff. Now, it's not all because of him, because there are a bunch of good players on that Cincinnati team. But he's had to play on a big stage, and he's had to do a lot of stuff. Yeah. And so he's not this player, but you made up the Marcus Mariota thing. But I'll take it. You remember when Russell Wilson was coming out? And you remember how Russell Wilson just kind of like, hey, he just kind of drove the car and you kind of had an appreciation for this. And he goes to Wisconsin and does that. The maturity and stuff that you talk about, that's why I'm like, man, you know, if I'm Seattle and I kind of want to replace the same, like Desmond Ridder could be that kind of thing because the athleticism, and I can see a bunch of teams saying, I kind of get the best of both worlds. Yeah. I get a guy who has managerial traits in terms of his demeanor and maturity, but he still kind of has like a playmaker's athleticism to his game that he might be more. And so the Dak Prescott thing, I think, is comparable too, because I felt like Dak Prescott was very similar to that when he was coming out of Mississippi State.
Yeah, no. So keep an eye on him. Ritter is definitely, I think I even said it before my last top 50, and then I just kind of look at it and I look at my grade and I'm like, man, my grade doesn't really put him up there. But sometimes you got to kind of fill in the rest of the picture. You know, you got to look at it and say, man, it's not all there right now, but you're going to buy, as we always say, want to buy the player, buy the kid more so than the player right now, and say, okay, I believe in the person. And then we'll see if it all comes together. So anyways, Ritter's that guy. Running backs, Breece Hall is my top guy, followed by Kenneth Walker. I think those, to me, there's a big gap after those two. I think those are the top two guys, and then there's a big spread. How about you?
I think it's a huge gap. If we talk about running backs going to top 45, I think those are the two. I think those other guys come after that. For my money, Breece Hall, Kendall Walker, I think it comes down to style. Breece Hall, to me, is over top of Kendall Walker because of the passing game contributions. I feel like he is a valuable threat in the passing game. I feel like, and we said this about Leonard Fournette when he's coming out, there's a difference between being kind of a playmaker in the pass game and a check down option.
Yeah.
To me, until I see more from Kenneth Walker, I see him more as a check down receiver as opposed to a playmaking receiver.
Yeah. Damian Harris was my comparison for Kenneth Walker. And I think he's going to go higher than him, faster than him. Gosh, ran 4.38.
To my Damian Harris.
Come out of Alabama.
Alabama, yeah, good player.
Yeah, who's been a good player for the Patriots. But he's got more juice. But those, to me, I don't really – I mean, I know we're kind of theming here about surprises. I don't have a surprise in this running back group.
Yeah. I think there's some good players and maybe someone emerged.
But I don't think anybody's going to go vaulting up there that we're not talking about. Let's keep it rolling. Then let's go to the tight ends. I don't have any tight ends in my top 50 at this point in time. To be honest with you, I still got to go through and sort this group out.
It's tough, man, because
don't love any of them, to be honest. I like them. I don't love any of them.
Like, it's weird because I got Jalen Whitmire, Trey McBride, Greg Dustin. Like, they're all
Buck.
They're
Buck Whitmire might not get picked.
I know.
He ran like 5 flat. He's
I know. He's a master of the post corner, though.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's all I run. He dropped his drop. Well, here was my note on him. I'm not trying to kill him, but like I do this thing with tight ends where I go through and I look up explosives. And then I look up drops. So you want to see what the ratio is of explosive plays to drops. So
it can't be 1-to-1.
So like the Indiana kid, just off the top of my head, I think he had 17-to-1. Like he had 17 explosives and like one drop. Jalen Wiedemeyer had 14 explosives and 8 drops.
That's not a good ratio.
It's not good. So he's fallen, but I don't know that he's going to have a weight, but Dulcich, to me, I know he ran 4.69. I thought he played much faster than that. So he's still kind of my favorite guy of the group, but I was pleasantly surprised when Trey McBride ran in the low 4.5s. I did not see that on tape. He's a true Y tight end and can block and catches everything.
I think he's going to end up being the first one off the board.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
But you're right. I don't know if he's going to be a guy that we talk about like really, really early and that stuff. It's just one of those things. And, you know, like there are other guys in there, but –
I mean, Jelani Woods is a traits guy. We've talked about this. It's a traits position. When you look at it historically, throw the production out because some of these offenses just force feed these guys the ball. But George Kittle is the first example of that. Just bet the traits at this position. You know, big, fast, explosive, change of direction stuff. Even though he's a little bit inconsistent, Jelani Woods had 6 drops, but he's 253 pounds, ran 4.61. All his stuff was really good. So he'd be one I'd say keep an eye on. Let's get to the last position here. I know we've kind of had a little bit of a longer pod today, but hopefully you guys are hanging with us here. Wideouts, Garrett Wilson is my top one, followed by Drake London. But my surprise would be, and I think our buddy Peter Schrager is going to be all over this and texting with him. He's been talking about this a little bit. Jameson Williams, if Jameson Williams, when it was all said and done, we come full circle, he ends up being the first receiver off the board, would you be surprised?
No, I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah. I think the only thing you want to do is go full circle. And since we're talking about Jameson Williams, let me give a full shout out to his dad who bumped into me at the JW Marriott at the combine.
Oh, nice.
He said, Mr. Brooks, I need to holler at you. I need to understand why my son isn't number one. And I was like, oh, it's the injury day. He said, you shouldn't worry about that. He is going to be everything that everyone has talked about him. And I was like, okay. And I was like, Mr. Williams, what's your name? He's like, James. That's why he's called James' son.
That is fantastic.
I was like, okay. Yeah. So have fun. But no, like, I think the clips that we've seen from Jameson doing his workouts, just showing the prognosis. I think if you're a team, particularly if you're a team with 2 number ones, or your team has a luxury pick, or you have the option of not having to rush him back onto the field,
yeah,
I think you sock him away and take your time. I don't think you need to rush to get him back. Because the talent is there. I mean, he's a big-time player. And I think the growth that he displayed going from Ohio State to Alabama, to me, DJ, that's something. Because he clearly established himself at Alabama and took over. And he was on his way to a big day, to a big day before he got hurt.
Yeah, no doubt. So that one would be kind of the surprise there. Nothing else really jumps out to me. And we've talked about all these other guys, like Sky Moore is my 44th player. If he went in the late 20s, you know, that's not a shock. No. Christian Watson's 45. I think he probably goes early too. You know, George Pickens would be the name I'd keep an eye on.
Because he was coming off the ACL,
but he's got a ton of ability. You know, he's somebody that it's got a wide range. If George Pickens went, you know, early 2 or maybe snuck into late 1, or if he went in the middle of the 3rd round, I think it's all in play. I think all that's possible.
Yeah, for sure. And I think he's one of those guys that just want to keep him out because he does have big time ability. We saw flashes. He even jumped in the championship game and got over the top. And, you know, for a guy that was kind of still dealing with the knee injury and the lingering after effects, he'll be much better in his first season as a pro because he's fully recovered and ready.
Yep, no doubt. All right, that's going to do it for us today. I hope you guys have appreciated this one, had fun with us. Kind of cool just to go by those positions and find you know, where the surprises might be coming from. Again, I'm waiting on a time here.
I saw 4.37. That's what hit Twitter, but I don't know if that's just what James Farmer put out.
Yeah.
For Derek Stingley.
Oh, what was it? What was the time?
4.37.
Okay, yeah, plenty fast enough.
yeah, that was a wake up. Oh, now let's have the conversation back about Derek Stingley. Go back, like that. The conversation goes all the way back. Like,
yeah, here we go.
All year. Oh, here you know, he struggled this and that. Oh, he ran 4.37. He's how big? Oh, yeah. Here we go. Let's have a conversation.
Here we go. Back in the mix. All right, man. Well, this was a fun one. We'll see where we go from here to the draft, but it's a fun time of year. Hope you guys again have enjoyed it. Leave us a review if you don't mind on Apple Podcasts. We appreciate those. Drop some questions in there if you have them. We'll see if we can get to those here before the draft. That's going to do it for us. He's Bucky Brooks. I'm DJ. We'll see you next time right here on Move the Sticks. You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Awards Watch says Liam Neeson is at his best. Don't miss In the Land of Saints and Sinners. Having left his dark past behind, retired hitman Finbar Murphy, played by Neeson, leads a quiet life in a remote coastal Irish town. But when a menacing crew of terrorists arrive, Finbar is drawn into a vicious game of cat and mouse, forcing him to choose between exposing his secret identity or defending his friends and neighbors. In the Land of Saints and Sinners, from Samuel Goldwyn Films and Sony Pictures Home Entertainment. Watch it now on digital. Rated R.